Good morning. We have 58 devices tuning in right now. I'd like to welcome you all from Iowa, Washington, Texas. Glad that you are with us this morning. Let's start with our family devotional memory verse, Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And this morning, we'll look at that verse again, but this morning's lesson is about being thankful. And I want to hit on 4 points this morning about being thankful. And to start, we'll go to Colossians 3:15. There's a passage here that I want to read through this, and I'm going to leave out what's highlighted. So there are 3 mentions of being thankful here. I'm going to leave those out and read through it and have us notice something. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. These 3 mentions of thankfulness are woven in a passage that you and I have heard before. You've probably heard this scripture about singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. I would imagine most of you have heard that. And verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. You've probably heard that. But spliced in are these 3 mentions. Not one should be enough, but Paul writes this, he crams it in 3 times. Be thankful. There's something about thankfulness and our act of thinking of things that we're thankful for and thanking God for them. There's something about that that's easy for us to just blaze through life and not pay attention to. And so let's look at some things regarding thankfulness this morning. The first point is, thankfulness belongs to God. All thankfulness belongs to God. Now, it's not that we can't thank, you know, someone for doing something for you, those type things. But James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. If it is good, it is from God. If it's good, it's from God. Say that with me. If it is good, it's from God. Period. And so we have to remember that things that in our life that are good, who gets the credit? Who should get the ultimate credit? Who is ultimately responsible? If it's good in your life, it's from God. It's not from fate. You know, who coordinates fate? Fate is this word that kind of speaks to, it was just meant to be. And it's not, when people talk about fate, they don't think of God coordinating it. Most people, when they say fate, this is just meant to be. Well, who meant it to be? I don't know. It's just meant to be. The universe, I guess. It was fate. That's how people think of the word fate. The fact is, you're not lucky, you're blessed. There is no such thing as luck. It doesn't exist. And if you don't have a struggle of a gambling addiction, don't start, because a number of reasons. But one is, luck is a fallacy. It's a fallacy. Scripture says, if you want money, go work. Okay? And if you can't work, then you need help. So fate doesn't exist. Luck doesn't exist. Now, how about this? Have you ever heard someone use the phrase good vibes? Someone might say, I'm going through something right now. Might put it on social media. By the way, I have not read this on anyone's social media in a long, long time. I have no memory of who it was the last time I saw this. So if you said this week, the preacher's not talking to you specifically. But someone might say, you know, I'm going through something right now. I could use all the good vibes that you can send my way. What do people mean by that? People mean different things by that. Okay? So don't misunderstand me. Some people, when they say good vibes or you send me good vibes, I appreciate all the good vibes, they simply mean good thoughts, good positive attitude, including prayer, everything good. Good. They might even say good energy, but they don't mean what someone else that I'll describe in a minute means. So they might just mean just good things. Good. I need good comments, all that. Which is basically, in a sense, harmless. But some, you go far enough, there's a growing belief that the universe is in charge of some things. And that there's energy in the universe. When I mean energy, I don't mean, you know, wood burns, fire. I don't mean scientific energy. I mean kind of supernatural, mystical. There's kind of a mind behind it. Energy, there's things happening, and I can send energy to you. You can send energy to me, and vibes includes energy and just kind of reach for some supernatural power, but not God. It's universe. Now, this is a growing. These are expanding ideas that more and more people are adopting because we want help from a power greater than us, and people don't want God because God tells them what to do. People don't like that. Or God calls something sin, and we don't like that. And so people want something that's mystical and without judgment. And so the idea that the universe is doing things. I just point out the universe is not doing anything. God is doing. If there's a power, if you need help, there's only two ultimate higher powers. I say higher, supernatural. One is God, the other is Satan. You have Father, Son, Holy Spirit, that's God, and you have Satan, and each has angels. That's the supernatural powers. Everything else is natural. And if you are trying to get help from somewhere, look up. Look up. That's the God. That's our Creator. That's the one who blesses us. That's who every good gift you have is from Him. Psalm 100. So, what do we do about our thanksgiving? We give it to God, but Psalm 101 says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth, serve the Lord with gladness, come into His presence with singing. We don't just come here to sing. We are supposed to come here with something to sing about, with thanksgiving, with a joyful heart, with a grateful heart. We should come in here full of joy for what God's done for us this week. Has anything good happened to you this week? God is the author of all that's good. Has God blessed you this week? Had mercy on you this week? Shown you favor this week? I mean, we are to come in here with our hearts full of that and to be excited to be here. And it's a different attitude than just cramming this time into our life. You know what I mean? We live our life, we're chasing, we're running, we're doing, and then we stop everything, get in the car, we get here, get in there, sit down, be quiet, make it through this, okay, get back in the car, all right, now we live again. That's not what this is to be. And the more mature Christian you become, which usually is older, but the more mature Christian you become, the more you love this time. This right here becomes your highlight of the week. Because the more you realize how good God is. So verse 3 says, know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us. Our children are being taught in the classroom, in school, that God did not make you. Well, who made you? Well, you just, you know, I mean, your mom and your dad and, you know, we're... you have evolved. From what? Well, from lower life forms, you know, the genetic mutations and just evolution. I mean, and lots of years. Lots of years. From what? Like, what made all this? Well, it just, I mean, we're not really sure. We're not really sure how it all got started. We don't know that. The science class will say, we don't know that. But you evolved from ape-like creatures. There is no God. That's what our children are being taught. And if they're not being taught there is no God, you need to know if they're being taught that we evolved from lower animal life forms, they're being taught there is no God. Because Scripture teaches that God created. And did you know there was no death before sin? But with evolution, there has been death for millions of years. Take that and chew on it. With evolution, there was death for millions of years. Scripture says no death till sin came. Those two things don't match. But if you really stop and look and talk to some believing scientists, young earth, that's right. There is plenty of evidence that this place is really not that old. Plenty of it. But our faith tells us God's the one that made us. And that's who we are to be thankful for. And then the second part, we are His. What does that mean? It's one thing that God's our creator, but it's another thing that I belong to Him. And one of the greatest psalms ever written that people love, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Why do people love that so much? Because He's not just God, He's my God. I'm not just a life form, I'm His creation. And if I belong to God, that means God cares for me. And that's what Psalm 23 talks about. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. The things that are good in your life, God is doing it. God makes it rain on the just and the unjust. God is helping those who are living a blasphemous life. He's blessing them too because He's trying to reach them. That's how good God is. So verse 5 says, the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Steadfast. That's not a word that we use a lot, but steadfast means unwavering. It doesn't change. And the fact is, no one will love you steadfastly like God does. No one will. When I was a teenager, like our teens here this morning, not so much when I was this age, but as I got to be teenage age, my big dream for life was a spouse, because I wanted to fall in love with someone, and I had this vision, which young people do, that, you know, life is good now, but someday if I can find that just special Mr. Right or Miss Right, I find that special person. And then, see, they're going to love me, and I'm going to love them because I want to love someone, and I'm going to love them, and we're going to have this love together and marriage, and it's going to be awesome because they're going to complete me. I mean, what's missing in me, they're going to be, and I'm going to be that for them, and we're going to be like this. And I've seen movies. I know it can happen. So, like, this is in my future. And then you get that. And not to dash anyone's hopes or dreams, but when you get that, it is good for a little while. And they call that the honeymoon phase. It is good, real good. God is good. And God designed it. God made us male and female. And He designed marriage. And He blessed us in many ways. It's wonderful. And then when that runs out, it's not so wonderful, because two people have different ideas and they start doing some of this business, start butting heads. And you realize, you know what, you in your wedding vows, which are wonderful, some people write their own vows, and listen, some of these are not accurate at all. They're not possible. I mean, I will always put you before me and your needs. I will serve you continually. No, you won't, because you're going to get mad at that person. And you're going to be hurt by that person, and you're not going to feel like loving that person, and you're not going to love them. You're not going to be loving toward them. You're going to be resentful and bitter. That's how we love. We love people we love most days, maybe. Right? We don't have perfect love. Then you have a child, and this baby shows unconditional love. This baby loves, right? Just pure love. I mean, baby has needs too, but the baby, when that baby connects with the mother, you know, the feeling of a mother, I don't know, when the baby first says mama, I know what it's like when they say daddy. It's a special thing. There's nothing like being a parent. There's nothing quite like it. It's a wonderful blessing from God. And then that child grows up. But right there. I mean, adolescents, they start having thoughts of their own. And they want to have plans and dreams. They want to chart a course of their own. And they don't love like they used to love. There's no love in this life like God's love. None of it is steadfast like the way God loves us. None of it endures forever, faithful to all generations. And so, be young people, it is right to pursue a Mr. Right, you know, Miss Right, but God is the one that will never fail you. Get one with God. That's what you need. That's what you ultimately need. Oneness and wholeness with God. All right, number two, thankfulness eases trials. And this is the memory verse we've been working on this month, Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. So that all makes sense. Are you stressed? Are you worried? Okay, well, don't, instead of worrying, pray about it. Got it. Check. With thanksgiving. Now, that has to be inserted in there because it's not natural when you're worrying to be thankful. When you've got a problem, it's not natural to be thankful. When you have a problem, it's natural to think about your problem. And so Scripture reminds us thanksgiving is needed when we're struggling. This passage in Colossians is very succinct. Continue steadfastly in prayer. That's kind of continue is enough, but unwaveringly. Why do you need reminder of that? Because when you have a problem and you pray and it doesn't get better, we tend to quit praying. Haven't you ever prayed for something and God didn't do it, and you prayed for it and it didn't work out, and you prayed and you said, well, I guess that's just not going to happen. I'll quit praying. And Scripture says, no, don't quit. You keep praying because God may be doing something different, or He may be doing something later. Don't quit praying. Be watchful in it. That's another thing we quit doing. We pray, it doesn't happen, pray. I mean, we want it to happen like yesterday. So when it doesn't happen, we get distracted and we're no longer watching for that prayer to be answered. With thanksgiving. Now, thanksgiving doesn't naturally fit problem solving or crisis time, but it's amazing how helpful it is to be thankful. Being thankful takes our focus off of our problem. It takes it off of what we're wanting, and it puts it on what we already have. 14 years ago, our Stephanie and I, moved into a house here in town that there were a number of things about the house that we liked. That's why we chose that house. But it had a walk-in attic, and that was a big one for me. A walk-in attic just means, you know, you got attic space, you can put stuff, and you walk straight into it. You don't have to climb a fold-down ladder, which we had in our previous house. So, you know, it's amazing the things that sell a house that you would. People advertise, you know, they highlight the high points of how many bedrooms and bathrooms, and here's the kitchen, and look at the yard, Stephanie's in the nursery this morning, so Stephanie collects things, and then we don't have a place for all that, but we have that in boxes and tubs, and so for me to have a plate, to have a walk-in attic to put, and some of that's mine, but to be able to put all this stuff, to me, it's not an attic. It's like a junk room with a door. It's awesome. It's a place to store. You know, we don't need a building outside, although she wants one of those too. But that costs money. This, we got one in the house, a place to put it in there. All right. Then So we just kind of accumulate things, and then we moved 2 years ago. Another walk-in attic, number one selling point, put it all in there. Okay, so fast forward to recently, I've just recently started organizing my garage for the first time ever. I mean, I've kind of hung stuff and got stuff out of the way, but I'm really trying to actually be like some of you and have a garage that's organized. And if I need something, I know I have it and I know where it is. And that's a foreign thing to me. But recently, I've been having so much fun because I go through these boxes and I have things I forgot I even had. I mean, not even expensive things. I found zip ties the other day. I was excited because when you need a zip tie, it's really good to have a zip tie. And if you know you have some, that's good, except if you don't know where they are, that's frustrating. And so anyway, I've discovered a number of things I had. And that's what happens when we stop and think and count our blessings. And even in a crisis, notice things that are good. When you force yourself to be thankful, you force yourself to see something you already have. And when we're struggling, usually it's because it's something we don't have. And I want something, or I want it to work out, or I want it to be fixed. It's not the way I want it. And thanksgiving forces us to see what is already good that we already have. It's amazing. And it reminds us how faithful God is. Sometimes when people message me and ask me to pray about something, you know, there's only one Ron Jacobs, all right? By the way, if you don't know Ron Jacobs, he's coming back. And our brother Ron Jacobs is just a wonderful Christian man. But he has a way of, on Facebook or even in a text, just sending a wonderfully encouraging message. And I don't have that skill. But what I do a lot of times is I'll simply say, God is faithful. And that may not, I don't know how people understand that necessarily, but to me that means a lot. I know that we don't know a lot of things, but one thing I do know is God is faithful. He will be faithful to us. All right, number three, thankfulness honors God. It pleases God. Psalm 50, 14, if you're filling in your blanks, honors God. Okay. Psalm 50:14, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. A sacrifice of thanksgiving. God likes it. It pleases him. As a parent, when my children say thank you, I like that. And I'll give you an example with Abby, our youngest. She will thank me periodically. I was looking back through text messages, and because she and I will text about various things. A lot of times when she thanks me, it's not very often, but when she does, usually it's because I've said yes to something she would like permission to do that she wasn't sure I'd say yes to, and that surprises her. And so anyway, she's thankful and overjoyed. But I want to back up And read you a text thread, and this was recently. She's at school, and she's texting me. So, 11:04 a.m., can you call me out right now? I have a really bad stabbing pain in my stomach. Wait. So that was 11:04, 11:05, wait, 11:05, hold on. 11:05, these are all separate messages. 11:05, okay, it's back. Please call me out. 11:08, please. 11:08, right now. 11:08, please. 11:08, I'm dying. 11:09, Father. 11:09, I'm dying. 11:10, my life force is depleting. 11:14, Elliot. 11, yeah. Sometimes there's other fathers around, and so Elliot really gets my attention. 11:14, Father. 11:20, DAS. She started to pass out at this point, couldn't spell dad. I think that was Dad. 11:20, Father. 11:20, my dude. 11:23, Elliot. Finally, at 11:24, I texted back, I'm reading, because I wanted her to calm down, but it's going to take me a minute to read all your texts and figure out what it is you're asking for. And so I said, I'm on it. And she said, thank you. Thank you. And I looked in my text thread with her the past year, how many times she's said thank you, and five times.
That's only over text, though.
That's only text. That's right. There are other times it's verbal. Yes. There's more credit to be given. There's more credit. But here's my point. Every time she says thank you, I like it. I like it. I remember what it's like to grow up and not understand all of what your parents do for you until later. And even now, I could stand to say thank you more to my father. My question for you is, do you think God likes it when we say thank you to him? Do you think he likes it? Do you think he does many things for us and doesn't get a thank you, maybe because we don't think about it, maybe who knows why? I think God loves it when we tell him thank you. Last point, thankfulness magnifies God. So I want to talk about the planet Saturn for just a minute. This is kind of, it's not a picture, but it gives you an idea. You have seen Saturn in the sky and didn't know it. I remember when I became an age when someone pointed out the brightest stars, when it first starts getting dark, the brightest stars are planets. We can see Mercury, Venus, Mars. We can see Saturn. Just looks like a star. With a household kind of a hobbyist telescope, Saturn looks like this. And I remember once a friend of mine had a nice telescope, and I remember seeing Saturn for the first time. It looked about like that. It's pretty amazing. It's not clear by any stretch, but wow! Like I can see the rings on Saturn through this telescope. That was pretty neat. An expensive telescope from Earth would show Saturn looking like this. Has some color to it. The main part of the planet has some stripes on it. And this is from the Hubble telescope, which rotates around the Earth. 300 miles from Earth, the Hubble telescope rotates around the Earth, and it's able to take some amazing pictures. That's Saturn from the Hubble telescope. And you may know we now have a thing called the James Webb telescope, which that's a picture it shows us. James Webb telescope is 1 million miles from Earth. It travels around the sun near the Earth, but not around the Earth. It's really a marvel of what mankind has done with that telescope. This is what Saturn looks like. Let me ask you something. How big is Saturn? And so when we look at a pit, we go from, you know, this all the way to this. Wow. Scripture says, I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. When we magnify God, we're not making, it's not like you're magnifying an image larger than it is. God is always larger than how we can show him. But when we give thanksgiving to God, when we glorify, your Bible may say glorify God, same meaning, make God appear glorious. We can never make him appear as glorious as he truly is. But we can make him look better than he does to most people. Does that make sense? Most people have some understanding of God. It's you and I that make him look better than they see him. That's like we see Saturn better, but we still don't see Saturn as it truly is. And we will on Judgment Day, and we will in heaven, we will see God as he is. But our job, how can I magnify God? And one way is when people ask you, how are you doing? And you say, you know, I'm doing good, been doing good. And that's fine. That's fine. But mix in some, I am blessed. You know how, how am I doing? I'm doing good. I'll tell you what, God is good. God is good. God has been real good to me. I'm doing better than I deserve. Magnify God. Magnify him. Show people how good God is. He's better than what we can show him, but it's up to us to show the world the God that is so amazing. We're going to sing a song of encouragement, thanking God. And I encourage you to worship God in this song, of course. But give God some thanks right now. And then work on making a habit of it, thanking God more and more. If you're here this morning and you have a need during this song, if you'll come, we'd love to help you. If it's pray for you, if it's help someone to become a Christian this morning, whatever you might have that we could help with, if you'll come as we stand and sing.
Thank you, Lord, for loving me, and thank you, Lord, for